around our new fire pit. We were having a fire, and Kim went inside, and I said to Jack and Maggie, I said, come here, I got something to tell you. And Jack said, uh-oh, preaching moment. I said, shut up, sit down. And I said to them, both of you have to try to love God as much as you possibly can. And you have to try to follow Him as much as you possibly can. And your lives are going to be amazing. You have to do that. And I don't know if it sunk in or not, but that is my wish for all of you. That is my plea for all of you, that would be on your hearts, to love God as much as you possibly can and to follow Him as much as you can. Let us take a moment for silent prayer before we hear God's word. Heavenly Father, we love You. Help us find ways to love You better, to love You more. Through Your Son, Jesus, we lift this up. Amen. One Sunday, a minister decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. So he placed four worms into four separate jars. The first worm he put into a jar of alcohol. The second worm he put into a jar that was filled with cigarette smoke. The third worm he put into a jar that was filled with chocolate syrup. The fourth worm he put into a jar that was full of good, clean soil. After the sermon, the minister reported the results. The first worm in alcohol, dead. The second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. And I know this is going to hurt. The third worm in chocolate syrup, dead. The fourth worm in good, clean soil, alive. So the minister asked the congregation, what can you learn from this demonstration? And a little old lady in the back quickly raised her hand and said, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't get worms. So I'd like to start off this morning with a survey. Who here wants to be strong? And you don't have to raise your hands. You can just answer to yourself. Who wants to be strong? Have you ever prayed to God for strength? And it could be physical strength, but there are many other ways that you could be strong. It could be mental strength, spiritual strength. You might want to be strong for your spouse. You might want to be strong for your children, for your grandchildren. You might want to be strong for your church. Who here wants to be powerful? Have you ever prayed to God for power? If you never have, you should. The power to lift others up. The power to pray through difficulty. The power to resist temptation. The power of the Holy Spirit. One more. Who here wants to be more hopeful? Have you ever prayed to God for more hope? For more hope that a loved one would be healed? For more hope that love once again would find its way into your heart? Or simply, for more hope that tomorrow will be a better day. I would tell you this morning that it is good to pray for these things. to be strong, to be powerful, to be hopeful. It is genuinely consistent with the gospel, with the good news, that God wants that for our lives. Yet for reasons only God knows, He doesn't always bless us with the things that we pray for, even the good things. Today I want to strengthen our faith by avoiding a trap that many of us, if not all of us, fall into when praying to God. And it looks or it sounds kind of like this: God, if you loved me, then you would make me strong. God, if you loved me, then you would make me more powerful. God, if you loved me, then you would make me more hopeful. Now, you probably don't frame it exactly in those words, but all of us at some point in our lives, I know I certainly do, pray, God, if you loved me, you would insert whatever it is that you would ask for. God, if you loved me, you wouldn't insert whatever it is that you do not want. I don't know if you've had that experience before. And when God doesn't give you those things that you expect He will, or when God does keep those things that you want taken away, our faith weakens. Let me take it a step further in this line of thinking, with this line of praying. God, if you were real, the world would be a nicer place to live. God, if you were real, the world wouldn't be full of suffering and misery. God, if you were real, your church would always be a place of refuge and safety. God, if you were real, your followers would always be kind and loving and generous. God, if you were real, your followers would never be the opposite. God, if. So as I was working on my sermon this week, I found myself on mathplanet.com. I told Jane she was going to like a certain part of the sermon. And per their website, Math Planet is an online resource where one can study math for free. Take our high school math courses in pre-algebra, algebra 1, algebra 2, and geometry. There's a little commercial for mathplanet.com. And the reason that I found myself on mathplanet.com was I was researching what's known as a conditional statement. And in the math world, we'll see if I got this right, Jane, that it is typically communicated, if P, then Q. Did I get that right? Good, okay. What that translates to is, if a certain condition is met, then something else will happen. For example, if the temperature is below 32 degrees, then water will freeze. If you hit your hand hard with a hammer, then it will hurt. If there are 6 donuts on the table, Pastor Bob will eat them all. Amen. Those are what's known as conditional statements, right? And when we relate to God through conditional statements, God, if you really loved me, you would. God, if you really cared about me, you would. God, if you really were going to protect me, then you would. We set ourselves up, we set our faith up to be weakened. So our scripture reading this morning, particularly verses 6 through 8, are going to help us change that. Paul writes, and he is writing to the church in Corinth, "Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations." Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. So we know from reading this scripture, right, that Paul's got a problem. He describes it as a thorn in my flesh. And what's interesting, what I find interesting, is nobody has ever been able to figure out what Paul's thorn is. Of all the theologians over the years, nobody really has a good understanding of what he was talking about. Some of them think that it was a physical problem. He might have had malaria or epilepsy or migraines or a speech disability or a chronic eye problem. Others think that he's talking about temptation. Some even think that he might be talking about an actual person. Some of you may have described somebody as a thorn in your side. Hopefully it wasn't me you were talking about. Whatever it is, we know that it's causing Paul a great deal of pain. If you've ever been pricked by a thorn, you know how much that hurts and what he's trying to convey. And he's not happy about it. Three times he asked God to take it away. The NIV version of the Bible tells us that he pleaded with God. In the other translations of the Bible, the other word that comes up the most is begged. Paul is in great anguish and he is pleading and begging with God to take his pain away. When I was reading this and I was writing this, I kept seeing the image of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, where he is asking God to take this cup away from me. And he asks how many times? Three times. Begging, pleading, as we often do, right? We water down the gospel. We make it nice for everyone to hear. Oh, Paul asked God to take this thorn out of his side, and he didn't, blah, blah, blah. He did not ask. He pleaded. He begged. He was in anguish. It would not be unreasonable, if you're with me, if Paul prayed to God, God, if you loved me, you would take this pain away. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Yet Paul comes at his prayer life in a very different manner. Instead of saying, if God loves me, then he would or he wouldn't, he says, God does love me, so. And everything that comes into Paul's life is an extension of that love. I'll say it again. God does love me, so. And he bases everything else off of that truth. Well, how do we know how Paul feels about God? Let me read you a little bit of Romans chapter 8. And I want to read first verses 31 and 32. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also give us everything else? Then verses 35 through 37 say, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us? If we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Paul is saying, who loved me? So Paul makes an unconditional statement, a statement that doesn't rely on anything else to make it true, and says, God does love me, no matter what, under any circumstance, in every situation, and his faith ends up looking much different than most of ours. He says, God does love me. So the fact that he has not removed this thorn from my flesh means that some good is going to come out of it. For him, he connects it right away. He said, this thorn is to keep me humble, keep me from being conceited. He says, God does love me, so I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. He says, God does love me, so I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions. He says, God does love me, so when I am weak, then I am strong. This is such a fundamentally different way to view God and to view prayer. What if every single thing in your life right now was meant to be for your own good? I'll say that again. I said it really fast. I'll say it slower this time. What if every single thing in your life right now was meant for your good? Every single person who you know is meant to grow you or strengthen you, make you more loving, make you more kind. Every single situation or circumstance in your life right now, today, God is bending towards his grace-filled purpose for your life. And they were meant to build up your faith, build up your hope, build up your heart. Every single disappointment, every single heartache, every moment of self-pity in which you have wallowed in is meant to make the joy that God has waiting for you all the more richer, all the more deeper. Amen? Amen. That is a good spot for an amen. This is why Paul can say, does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or we're persecuted or we're hungry? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. And then he takes it up a notch. He goes back to, I'm going back to 2 Corinthians verse 10. He says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions. So now, don't miss this. Don't miss this. If you're working on your grocery list in your head, come back to me. I caught somebody. I know I did. Don't miss this, right? Now it's not despite these things that we can have victory in Christ, but because of these things. Not in spite of our hardships, but because of them, we can have victory in Christ. God is showing us that sometimes he chooses not to give us those things that we pray for, even though they may be good for strength, for power, for hopeffulness. So there can be a gap in our lives, a gap in our hearts, a gap in our spirits, and then Christ fills that gap with his spirit, with his strength, with his power, with his hope. When you are weak, I am strong. Those things in our lives that we are so desperately trying to get rid of, sickness, financial hardship, loneliness, weakness of faith, weakness of heart. God says, I'm going to keep those things there because I am going to show you how absolutely pointless it is for you to work out your own salvation and how much you really need me. For my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I want you to go out this morning changing your thinking from, God, if you loved me, you would, to God does love me, so. Here's how it'll look. God, if you loved me, you would take this fear away from me that is in my heart. To God does love me. So the fact that I have fear in my heart, like Paul said, the fact that I have the thorn still in my flesh, something good is going to come out of it. Maybe it's meant to draw me closer to him. Maybe it's meant that I should trust him more. God, if you loved me, you would take this loneliness away. You would take this sickness away. Two, God does love me, so this loneliness, so this sickness can be used for His purposes. Maybe it's meant to help me stop relying just on myself, and I should reach out to others, to His church family, to other Christians around the community. Here's one more. God, if you loved me, you would strengthen my faith. You would take away all the doubt and uncertainty in my heart. Two, God does love me. God, I know you love me. So this doubt and uncertainty are part of your plan. And I don't know how, I don't know when, but since you love me, I can relax. I can breathe a little bit easier. I can trust. Let me close with this. God, if you loved me, you would reveal yourself to me. Now changes, since we've changed our thinking to, God does love me. So He sent Jesus to earth to show me what love looks like. God, if you loved me, you would fix me. Now we say, God does love me, so He sent Jesus to earth to redeem me and to save me. God, if you loved me, you would be with me. To God does love me. So He sent His Son to die in my place for my brokenness so I can be with Him. Amen? God does love me. God does love you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, if we can anchor one prayer in our heart, if we can anchor one belief in our heart, it is that you do love us. God, you love us. Jesus, you love us. Holy Spirit, you love us. So, everything in our life can reflect that. Everything in our life can bring glory to that fact. Everything in our life, no matter how hard it is, no matter how loneliness it is, how difficult it is there for our good because you are good. And you will bring us through it. You will bring us to it because of what you put in our lives. Help us anchor that in our hearts today and for the rest of our lives. God, you love me. We lift up this service, Lord. We lift up our lives, Lord, to you, Jesus, to you, Holy Spirit, to you, Heavenly Father. Amen.